usually preachers start talking about resolutions on the first day. And I'm not going to try to do that. I'm not asking how many people are going to join Weight Watchers. And you've already got that in your head, okay? I'm not going to ask how many of you have got those workout things for Christmas that you're not going to use and you're not going to work. I'm not asking about those things, okay? But what I want you to do is you make your resolutions and you follow them. We need to be willing to do that. I like some that, and I've got some of these written down. Irma Bombeck was a philosopher, I think. Now, I don't know, some of you young people may not know her. I don't know whether she was a comedian or, but I thought she had some of the greatest things that she could say, and she could always say them in the funniest ways. One of her resolutions that she made is that I am going to do what my husband said. I'm going to live a more exciting life. I'm not doing a budget for this year. Her second one was a very simple one. She said, I'm going to apply to Weight Watchers for a handicap, ability, problem, difficulty, whatever, a scholarship. That's what I want to apply for. And then the one that I like the most, she said, I have made a resolution that this year I am not going to allow a child that I have given birth to drive my car. I think those are pretty smart. I think they're pretty good. And we could go on with a whole bunch of those things that, you know, we might consider silly, but and we need to follow every one of our resolutions. If you say you're going to do it, then do it. Make up your mind to do it. And I hope you've got some that are spiritual resolutions. I hope you have resolved within yourself that you're going to be faithful to God this year. You're going to be at every worship service. Okay? Now, the next one is important. I hope you've resolved this next year to write big checks every Sunday. I thought I'd throw that one in. I didn't know whether it'd pass or not. No, I hope you've resolved to be a more faithful person next year. And now what we need to do is start trying to do that. And we start trying to carry those things out. Now, the Ephesians that was read here a while ago is something that helps us, I think, for this year. And I want to read it to you out of the NIV. It says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord will is. Now, I like the way that translation said that. It helps us to understand a little bit better. We're living in a time where things are not as well as they need to be. We're living in a difficult time sometime because of economy and the way things are going. But what we need to do is to recognize that we have time. There's a lot of things you can buy, but you can't buy time. There's just not a place to buy that. I think I've mentioned to you before, a friend of mine one time, that somebody asked him, said, would you like to have time or money? He said, I'll take time every time. They said, why? He said, if I got time, I can make money. But if I don't have any time, it doesn't make any difference how much money I have. So we need time, and we need to use it in the right way, a wise way. And that's what Paul is trying to say here. Paul is trying to help us to understand that we need to use the things that we have because, you know, our time is limited. Now, I'm not saying that just to scare you. I'm not saying that just to frighten you. That's not it. We understand that. We understand and recognize what time is and how time is going by very fast. Now, some of you are 70, 80, 90, 5. Don't mention any names in that. And some of you that are young are thinking, over 40, you can't even move. Can you remember some of you that are a little older when you thought that? Time is something that just, according to where we are in the situation, it determines how long it's going to be. And sometimes if we don't realize it, we don't realize how important time is and how fast it goes. Just think about this. You got this boy and girl sitting out in the car talking, and they sit out there for 2 hours talking. It's just a short time for them. Wonder how long their daddy thinks it is. They've been out there for 4 days. We need to knock on the door. We need to cut the lights on and off. We need to do something, you know. Because time in that situation. But you see, sometimes we don't realize how important time really is. And we need to use that time. We need to use it in a wise way and try to use it in such a way that it will help. The psalmist wants us to understand that. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalms 39 and verse 4. Show me, O Lord, my life's end. Now, it doesn't stop there. My life's end and the number of my days, let me know how fleeting is my life. Do you want to know everything about your life and what's going to happen, every bit of it, this next year? I really don't. I don't know if I could take it or not. But what we need to do is to use what we have when we have it. Because it's here. And we don't know how long we're going to have that. So we need to be using that. And the psalmist here is saying, God, help me to recognize my time. Help me to see my time and use it in a wise way. Help me to use it in such a way as to help me to understand how fast it's going. Do you realize how fast time is? You say, yeah, I can see the second hand on my watch. It's just going around and around and around. But do you realize how fast your life is? Linda called a friend of ours the other day. She had a birthday. Her husband told her, Linda said, she doesn't have birthdays anymore. And then said, she doesn't have birthdays anymore? Said, no, she's got to, I think she was 47, said, she's got to where she's not going to count them anymore. And I said, do what I do. I go by anniversaries. See, I'm going to celebrate Tuesday my, 16th anniversary of my 50th birthday. Okay. Linda said, that's silly. You can't understand how it is. I said, why do you think I said it that way? It takes people a time. Sometimes they don't even care. But we need to enjoy what we have. We need to enjoy the time we have. We need to use it in the right way. And that's what the psalmist is trying to say. God, let me understand how to use time in the right way. Help me to understand how to do this. The length of my days, the psalmist said, is 70 or 80. If we have the strength, they quickly pass and we fly away. Psalms 90 and verse 10. Life is short. You need to use it in the right way. We need to use the time that we have. The psalmist is trying to help us to understand that we need to look at our days and see those days and use those days in the right way because they go by so fast. Now, if you want to turn with me to James 4 and verse 13, this is a great little passage. And I know you've read this before. I know you've seen it before, but I want you to see it again. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we're going to go to such and such a city. We're going to spend a year there. We're going to buy and sell, make a profit. He said, listen to this. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to be. You don't know about tomorrow. We need to think about today because today is all we really have. Now, there are usually two groups of people when it comes to time. They think about the past or they think about the future. But we forget about today. Think about today. Don't think about the future. You don't know if it's going to be there. But you think about today. That's all you've got to do. All I've got to do is to be right before God today. That's all. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I don't have to worry about the past because the Lord has said, I'll cleanse those sins of the past. The Lord has said, I'll cleanse those sins of today. We don't know if we're going to sin tomorrow. So let us be people who live today and we recognize what God has given us today. We recognize the family that we have. We recognize the home that we have. We recognize the benefits that we have been given, all the things that have been given to us. We see and we recognize all that. We need to. It is so sad when you go to be with a family at the death of a loved one for them to say, I wish I'd have said I love you more. Or at least I wish I'd have said I love you. I wish I'd have hugged that person and let them know that I cared for them. So many regrets. Well, listen, fulfill those things today. Let people know that you care for them. Let people know that you love them. If there's a problem in their life, help them to be able to deal with that in such a way as to draw them closer to God and closer to you. Let people know that you care for them today so that they can have that and they can rejoice in that and they can have those wonderful things. That's what we've got to do. We've got to understand how to use our time, how to make the best of it. We need to use every opportunity that we have. They come by sometimes so little, and they're not there very often, so we need to use the opportunities that we have and use it. One of the things that Jesus said about the devil in John 10 and verse 1 is that he is the father of the liars. He's the one that lies to you all the time. He's the one that tells you this is okay when it's not okay. How would you like to have a friend that all they did was lie to you? I don't want a friend like that. I don't want to be around a person like that. But here the devil is one that Jesus said is a liar. And in Ephesians 5 verse 16 here, it said, because the days are evil. All right, now here's the devil. And here's the one that's going to lie to us, and he's going to try to use up, one of the things he tries to use up is your time. I don't have time to worship. I don't have time to visit. I don't have time to see people. I don't have time to talk to people. I don't have time to study my Bible. I don't have time to think about obeying God or doing God. I don't have time to do that. Let me tell you something. We need to use the opportunities we have. And yet we don't know. They may not come back again to be able to speak to somebody about Jesus Christ. But you just think about how much of the time that the devil takes up. How much time is taken up in sin, and people don't realize it. How much time is taken up in all these things, in gossip and worry, all those things. How much time we spend in that. How much time we worry about the future when today is what we've got to be concerned with. We've got to be willing to do that in such a way as we don't let these things go away. Now, in Luke, the 10th chapter, and starting about verse 40 there, Jesus goes to Lazarus, Martha, Mary's house. You know the story. I hope you do. Jesus is coming. He's there. He's talking to the people, and Mary's sitting in there listening to every word he has to say. Martha's in the kitchen getting the food ready. A bunch of people there. You gotta feed them. And so Martha, she gets a little upset. And she just goes in and says, Lord, why don't you tell that woman to get in here and help me cook this food? Now, it was not microwavable stuff. It was starting from scratch in everything. It was really spending time cooking. Well, Lord, why don't you tell her to come in here? Can't you just imagine? Now, if it was like my mama, she had that apron on, and she would walk in there, and when she walked in there with an apron on, you knew something was coming up. Jesus, why don't you tell that one that's sitting over in front of you that's supposed to be helping me cook in here to come in here and help me cook? Now, look at what Jesus said. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Now, we got a lot of things going on in her head. But he said, there's only one thing you need. Now, listen to this. Mary has chosen the better. She's chosen a better way to go. And it will not be taken away from her. She's going to gain something for this. Do you think that Jesus was saying that in 10 years, she's going to remember every word I've said? I don't think that. But she'll remember the spirit of the words that were there. She'll remember the faith that is stronger. How many of us are so involved in so many things, we don't have time for the Lord? We don't have time for the Lord. You just think about your schedule. I mean, you know, you got to have a PBA to figure out where you're supposed to be. You got to have some kind of booklet or something to figure that out. And I'm not saying those things are wrong in and of themselves. Was it wrong for Martha to go in and say, Mary, get in here and help me? Wasn't wrong. Wasn't a sin. It was a choice that was made. And Jesus said, listen, she's chosen the better thing. Better than cooking? That's a big question, isn't it? Isn't it men? Yeah. She chose the better thing. To listen to the words of Jesus. Now, you just think about all the time you spend in all the things we've got to do. Some of us, you know, I was talking to a fellow the other day that just retired. I said, how's retirement? He said, I don't know how I had time to work. And that's one thing I hear from a lot of fellows that retired, if they've got some things to do. And I've heard some people say, oh, I've got everything done around the house. I'm so tired, I like to go back to work. I just love to go back to work. But let me tell you something. You get into retirement, you really enjoy it. And then you get to doing those things that you want to do. And those things that maybe you need to do. What can you do when you retire? There's a lot of volunteer things that you can do. Hospitals, nursing homes, church. A lot of things you can do. There's people that you can visit, that you can help. There's a lot of things you can do. Some people are doing all these other things now, and one of these days I'm going to do all those things. One of these days I'm going to be where I can go down and work at the church, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Sound like the person that James was talking about okay, I'm going over to this city, I'm going to do this and that, and you don't know what's on tomorrow. What we need to do is to look at our schedule and make sure we schedule the Lord in that. Make sure we schedule the Lord in worship on Sunday morning. Make sure that we schedule prayer every day, several times a day. Make sure that we schedule reading God's Word every day, studying God's Word every day, looking and studying the lesson that we're going to be looking at, and just reading the Bible and finding out more things about that, visiting people that you want to visit. Can you remember the time, some of you that are older, when people would just go visit other people and sit there and talk for hours on end? Now you go visit somebody and they're kind of looking at their watch. Okay, when are you leaving? When are you going? I've got 50,000 things to do. You ever been there before? I have. Hope this person doesn't talk much. I've really got to be over here at this place or that place. What we need to do is to think about how important it is to listen to what people have to say. So we need to look at those things that we have, our schedule, and do that. Just think about all the possessions that take up our time. And you know what? I thought about taking a picture of a garage and putting it up there. How's your garage look? Is everything neat? Is everything in order? I was looking at a garage the other day. There was a path just to get to the door, and that was all you could get. Couldn't even park the cars out in the garage. The garage was full of junk. And the guy said, we got so much junk in here, we can't get the cars in here. We got so many. How organized is your closet? And some people said, we don't really want to talk about that. Most of us, you know, if you're like me, we've got one closet. I won't tell you where it's at. But when I open the door, I'm afraid something's going to fall out and hit me. You got one of those? Everybody does. Don't sit here and say, oh, I don't have any of those. All of us do. You open the door and you know, you say, okay, can I get anything else in there? And you push it in. We've got one where the grandkids' toys are. That's a door you don't want to open. This stuff that just falls out at you. Everywhere. And then I gotta tell you that. Lenny went and bought these little Lego things, little green and red things. Have you ever seen those things poured out on a floor? And they hurt when you step on them, too. That has nothing to do with my sermon. It's just a gripe that I had. But that closet is packed. It's just full. I don't know how we can get so much stuff in a little room. Linda, I mean, we had it all sitting out because the girls were there this week trying to get it all. But we had all that sitting out there, and I looked at that, and I thought, there's no way in the world she can get that back in that closet. She did. You just don't want to open the door. We've got so many possessions. Our closet's full. Our garage is full. We've got so many things, and then we're working more to buy more of this stuff that we think we got to have, and so we've got to work longer to be able to do that because we've got to have everything that comes down the pike. Listen, we don't. I like new stuff, new cars. I told Linda yesterday, we could go look at new cars. She said, Not going to happen. Had a preacher tell me the other day, he said, I've been thinking about going down to Ford Place and buying me a new Mustang. I said, yeah, I've been thinking about that for years. It's not going to happen. We got so many possessions that those possessions possess us now. And we got to be careful about that. So be careful about this time that we have, about the possessions that we have, about all those things. And we just got to be careful about trying to work all the time. About 30 years ago, I think Time Magazine came out with this thing, said in the 2000s, you'll be working 22 hours a week. Anybody work a full-time job, work 22 hours a week? Uh-uh. I think they say now we're working 58 hours a week. I thought we were supposed to work less. And then you got to fight traffic. You got to fight all those things. You got to do all that stuff. And so we get our lives so tied up, so caught up in all this thing. Because of all the possessions we think we've got to have, we have all those things that are there. We've got to understand what we've got to do is to use our time in the right way. We need to use our time to find out more about the Lord. And I know you're expecting me to say you need to study your Bibles more. And listen, I'm not going to disappoint you. You need to study your Bibles more. We need to read. We need to look at what God's Word has to say. We need to pay attention. You say, I can't remember all that. You don't have to remember all that. It's kind of like eating. You don't remember what you ate 10 years ago, but boy, you gained the weight because of it, didn't you? You gained something out of it. You gained the sustenance that you needed to be able to go on out of that. That's what we've got to do. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. A foolish person doesn't understand what God's will is. A foolish person doesn't want to know what God's will is, and we've got to understand that. We've got to try to find out what the will of God is and to be able to follow that. We've got to find out what God's will when it comes to our priorities, how we look at things, how important things are. We've got to look at those things and use them in the right way. God has shown us that things are going to come and going to go. That's the way we live in this world. But what's going to last is going to be our following God. We need to be willing to do that. And then we must also spend our time with our families. I don't know about you, but people get caught up in so many things. And men, I think men sometimes may be the worst. I don't know. Because we think we've got an option to make money, to try to support our family, so we can neglect that family to be able to make more money, to be able to do that, when the family that we're working for to do all that is falling apart. Spend time with your family. Husbands, spend time with your wife. Wives, spend time with your husbands. And kids, get away from those parents as much as you can. I thought I'd just throw that one in and see if y'all were awake. But you know, your children are with you for such a short time. Enjoy them while they're there. I mean, it just seems like you turn around and they're all gone, isn't it? And you want them back. And you want them back there with you. We need to live our lives and learn to live today. Learn to live in this day that we have and thank the Lord for it and use that. I want to read you Romans, the 13th chapter, verses 11 and 12. Listen to this. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believe. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let's recognize the things that are important this next year. Let's recognize the things, and it may be that we have to change our whole schedule about things, but we do that. And we change our whole life. And we put those things that are so important. You see, the advertising people and the world people have told us and sold us a bill of goods that all these stuff and all this we're supposed to be. You're supposed to be so busy you don't have time for anything else. You're supposed to be spending so much money to buy this and to buy that. You know, we can get by on what we have. our economic crisis in this country, we could solve it very simply if I just didn't try to buy everything I thought I needed and charge for it. That might help a lot. What I've got to do is to look at the things that are most important. My relationship with God, first. And that needs to be very strong. And that means that I've got to put time in on that. Not just praying to God for things, but praying to God that I might be able to understand His will in a greater way. I need to spend time with my family. You don't know how long you're going to have them. You don't know how long you're going to have your mother, your father, your brother, your sister. You don't know how long you're going to have your children. So what we've got to do is to use our time in the best way so that we can rejoice in what God has given us. Use your life this year for the glory of God and for the service of helping other people to see God in your life and to see God living in your life. We sing an invitation song to try to encourage all of us to think about our obedience to God. I guess I could say it would be good if you could start off the year becoming a Christian. And that's true, it would be. But when are you going to? James has already said we don't know what's on the morrow. And we can make our plans all we want to, but they can be interrupted. Please, if you're not a Christian, I want you to really think about that. I want you to think about obeying the gospel today. Don't put it off any longer. If you are a child of God and there's sin in your life, please repent of that. Turn from it. Don't let it stay there any longer. Because the longer it stays, the more it grows, the more it builds in us, the more it attaches to us, and we can't get rid of it. Get it out of your life. Repent of it. And let those around you know that you love them. Let them know it. Please come right now as we stand and as we sing.